Carlson is a little bit nutty. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. My kids say, Dad, you watch Fox News too much. It will rot your brain. And so we try to limit it. They give me rations. They say, okay, tomorrow night you could watch Tucker Carlson, Dad, and the night after that you could watch Hannity. And the day after that you could watch The Five. With Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters. So I want to tell you about two things that Tucker Carlson has been confused about. And one of them involves a prediction we made in February of 2014, a science prediction that is now confirmed. It is now confirmed. You heard the news this week that on Venus, that is in the atmosphere of Venus, they found a molecule, phosphine, that as far as any scientist has ever documented, its only known origin is from biological life. And they find this in the atmosphere of Venus. So that's awesome. And it's at 20 parts per billion there. So that is part of a confirmation of a prediction that Fred Williams and I made on Real Science Radio February 21st, 2014. So we'll get to that. Also, Tucker, I'm glad that he pushes back on the whole global warming hype, but he's a bit confused about what the global warming advocates are saying when they say that these forest fires are because of global warming. When we take a stand on any position, including a science-related position, it's really important to be able to understand what your opponents are claiming and what their argument is, because none of us are infallible, right? I'm not the Pope, so I'm not infallible. So when Tucker Carlson has gone on and on and on disproving the global warming claims about the forest fires, and he's completely wrong, and he brings a lot of moral outrage to it in his approach, it really is embarrassing when we make arguments, and if there's any chance you're wrong, don't make the argument with moral outrage, because you sound really foolish. So we'll get to those two items, and then we're so thankful for the feedback from yesterday about our Bible study. We have on our website, kgov.com/testimonials, from so many people talking about the impact that our Bible studies and our other resources have made on their lives, on their families, on their businesses. For us, it's incredibly rewarding, and it helps us to continue to press on full speed ahead. So if you have something you'd like to share, please feel free. Send it to us. Go to our website, kgov.com. Contact us. Let us know. But someone, after hearing yesterday's program, documenting from the Gospels that the apostles and Jesus himself, they were not preaching, believe in the Lord's coming death and resurrection and you will be saved. In fact, the apostles were confused about it. They didn't even believe it until after the fact. And Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone that I'm going to be crucified and raised from the dead. So clearly, when he sent them out to preach, they were not preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the foundation of their gospel. And we covered that in detail yesterday. And if you missed that, of course, just go to kgov.com and look for Monday's broadcast. Or you could find this in text at kgov.com/different messages. Because today, we can't preach the gospel without talking about Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. We can't do it. Whereas yesterday, we documented irrefragably For the public school teachers tuning in right now, no, I'm not going to explain the meaning of that word. Irrefragably, we documented that the apostles and Jesus himself were not preaching the coming death and resurrection of the Lord as their gospel message. They were not preaching that. Also, and we'll get to this in a couple minutes, I just touched on it at the end of yesterday's broadcast. They were also hiding the identity of Jesus Christ, who he actually was. They were hiding that too. So very encouraging. Thank you for the thumbs up on yesterday's program and Bible study. And now, before we continue with that, Tucker Carlson. Okay, forest fires. Tucker has gone on and on with a lot of emotional energy that the people blaming the fires on global warming are utterly ignorant of the truth. They don't want to know the facts because, lo and behold, this fire here, this particular fire, it was started by some campers. And lo and behold, this other fire, it was started by a lightning strike. And he just goes on and on, a couple nights in a row, just making fun of the argument that this has to do with global warming. Now, I'm glad he does make fun of that because that has been a theme of our broadcast for the last 30 years, practically. At kgov.com/warming, you could see all the evidence in a wonderful bulleted list, the evidence against the global warming hype hoax crisis. But you have to understand your opponent's argument. The liberals in California, they're not claiming, their argument isn't that every fire, the ignition point, the fire is started by global warming. That's not their point. So if you find out that, well, there was an arsonist started this fire, it was a propane grill that started that fire, it was lightning strike that started that fire, oh, you've disproved the global warming activist. No, you haven't. You've just shown that you're confused. Their argument is not how the fires started. It's that because it has been so hot and so dry for so long, when forest fires start, it's much harder to extinguish them. And they burn hundreds of thousands of more acres than would be expected. That's their argument. Not the ignition point and cause of the fire. So how Tucker Carlson's producers could let him say this and blather on repeatedly over multiple programs is hard to imagine. My producers would come in the studio live when we're on the air and smack me in the head. And they'd say, "What are you saying? Stop. Stop." So thank you guys. So on Venus, now Tucker Carlson is a bit obsessed with aliens and UFOs. I mean, he really is. It's bizarre. And we have a page, kgov.com/aliens, or you could get to it if you forget, kgov.com/UFOs. And it has a powerful argument, again, a bulleted list, which is our forte, our signature approach, is to make a list of all the evidence. And we have this list, 20 bullets of the evidence against the whole alien UFO phenomenon. And we have a prediction, and that prediction continues to hold true. And predictions are the hard currency of science, by the way. So our 20 bulleted items, evidence against alien UFOs, the existence of alien UFOs. The first one is this. As a general rule, no two UFOs are ever alike. So this past year, there were huge UFO stories. There were Navy radar sighting videos, and there were the UFOs off the Outer Banks on the coast of North Carolina. And those, for example, made huge news. Off the coast of North Carolina, what it looked like in the distance, it looked like a string of party lights. That's what it looked like, party lights. Now, those party lights behave nothing like the U.S. Navy radar sighting videos. And these all, as is typical, this is a general rule, no two UFO sightings are ever alike. So that's pretty cool. Another rule, number two, they're already here. We've never seen them entering our atmosphere. So they're always already here. We have audio. Let's play this audio. It's like, what is it, 8 seconds of audio? This audio is from a YouTube physics presenter, Arvin Ashe, very well respected, millions of views. And he just so briefly touches on aliens. And what he says is those shy aliens that only seem to show up in fuzzy pictures in remote areas of the United States. I mean, we don't even have to hear it, but it's on our aliens page. Let's hear Arvin Ashe.
Those shy aliens that only seem to show up in fuzzy pictures in remote areas of the United States.
Yeah, and of course that's true, right? Evidence number three, with hundreds of thousands of daily commercial flights, passengers don't video alien ships out of their windows. And thankfully, the associations for airline pilots around the world, they have no policies for how to deal with aliens in the flight path. That's wonderful. The news that got Tucker all excited that he's right about his expectation of aliens and alien-piloted UFO craft is that the journal Nature Astronomy this month, September 2020, has reported that they have discovered in the atmosphere of Venus, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, phosphine gas at 20 parts per billion. And phosphine has no known abiotic production. In other words, there's no known way to produce phosphine other than as a byproduct of biological life. So that's really cool, right? So Tucker thinks that means maybe there's an alien civilization living on Venus. No, there's not. Now, that might be exaggerating a bit, what he is claiming about this particular discovery. But he thinks it gives, in fact, he said, this gives credibility to all his reporting on UFOs and aliens. No, it doesn't, Tucker. You're confused again. Just like with the forest fires and global warming, you're confused. So back in February of 2014, 6 years ago, Fred Williams and I made a prediction and we put a deadline on it. You know, because it's easy to make a prediction and there's no expiration date. And so it's 40 years later, 60 years later, and you're ready to go meet your maker. And somebody brings up your prediction and you say, well, it's still, maybe it'll come true next year. So maybe it would. But we don't like that. So we put an expiration date on our prediction. And this is what we said. By 2020, just to put a date on it, powerful evidence, and there had already been evidence, but it was highly disputed. Powerful evidence of biological matter scattered in the solar system will be added to the currently existing apparent evidence. So we made that prediction in February 2014. Few months later, you know what the astronauts found on the outside of the International Space Station? They found plankton. They were cleaning the windows. They found plankton. How's that one? Then there were discoveries reported in 2016, 2018, 2019, and 2020. Not only now the phosphine gas on Venus, but also earlier this year, a discovery submitted to Earth and Planetary Astrophysics. Harvard scientists found in a particular meteorite, ACFR 086, they found a polymer, a molecule, a string of molecules attached, including the amino acid glycine, which they believe is most likely a protein. That's pretty cool. But so many discoveries have been made. And so Fred Williams and I, Lord willing, before the end of this year, will do a program on Real Science Radio announcing the confirmation of our prediction that by 2020, there will be significant, powerful new evidence of biological material in space. And there's a lot published in PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and reported by NASA, and in the journal Advancing Earth and Space Science. A lot, mind-boggling, some of the scientists call the discoveries. One of those, which is at 21 parts per billion on Mars, they're finding methane that they believe could result as a byproduct of bacteria. And so very interesting, a bunch of discoveries. And so that prediction has been confirmed. And does any of this mean that there are aliens? No. Does any of it mean that there are UFOs arriving from other planetary systems? No. If you think that's possible, please take a look at our list. We made a prediction that as cell phones with fabulous high-resolution photography in each phone and great video recording capability, that as those phones propagate around the world, we're going to have a decreasing incidence of people claiming to sight flying saucers, alien spaceships, and actually seeing aliens themselves, anal probes, you know the whole story. So in the past, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, people say, oh yeah, my wife and I were headed back to the farm. It was Saturday night, 11 o'clock. Yeah, we had been out drinking, but who doesn't? And right in front of us, right in front of our pickup truck, just at the top of the hill, a spacecraft landed. It had red and green lights rotating around the craft and, you know, on and on. Aliens got out. They walked toward our truck. Then they went back and they took off. And so today people would say, well, why didn't you take a picture of it? Why don't you get video of it? What are you, a moron? You could be like, you could win the Nobel Peace Prize or something. And so because of the increase in technology, there's a decrease in claimed sightings of aliens and spaceships. And so the biological matter pulverized and particulate and trace elements of biological matter that appears to be throughout the solar system is not a result of an alien spacecraft building industry. It's the result of something else. And if you're interested, just go to our website, kgov.com/aliens. So back to yesterday's study. So exciting to study the Bible and to hear things that, as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, the teacher of the Word of God brings out of his storehouse treasures that are new and old. The Bible is so rich that any person spends their entire life studying the scriptures, and they could be amazed every single day. So if you happen to go to a church where every fifth message is about tithing, or every fifth message is about baptism, or every fifth message is about election, or every fifth message is about, you know, name your false doctrine, or even every fifth message is about something valid, but something that everyone in the church should know perfectly well, and then that's about it. And the treasures that are new never seem to come along. So the one who teaches God's word should be like someone who goes into his storehouse and brings out treasures that are new and old. So here's one that's new to a lot of people. Well, yesterday, documenting that during the 3 years of Christ's ministry on earth, he was not preaching and the apostles were not preaching the Lord's coming, death, and resurrection. Okay, We covered that yesterday. Now today, they also were not preaching the identity of Jesus Christ. I mean, here and there, but generally it was censored. So if censoring the resurrection were not enough, Christ even hid the identity of the Messiah from his hearers. As in Matthew 16:20, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. See that also earlier in that chapter. In Luke chapter 4, and demons also came out of many people. And by the way, there were no exorcisms in the Old Testament. That's a New Testament phenomenon. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. Isn't that something? If you ask most Christians who don't have an understanding of an overview of the Bible, the plot of the Bible, and you say, was Jesus trying to tell everyone who he was? Well, of course he was. Was Jesus trying to tell everyone that he would be raised from the dead, believe in his resurrection? Well, of course he would have been doing that. But they would be wrong because that is not the case. Let me continue with this excerpt. It actually comes from the final chapter of my life's work, a book called The Plot, The Overview of the Bible. And the last chapter, 11, is titled Things That Differ. So this excerpt continues, while Jesus forbade demons from blurting out his true identity, he commended Peter in front of the apostles for saying, "You are the Christ." And the Lord accepted Martha's acknowledgement. That's in John chapter 11. She knew who he was. But when the public interrogated him on his identity, like in John chapter 10, Jesus did not answer forthrightly. He even allowed them to remain in ignorance concerning the place of his birth. Even that, because the scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So check out John 7, verses 40 through 43. That information could have helped them verify his qualifications as the Messiah because of the prophecy in Micah chapter 5. Jesus only hesitantly responded to the direct question of the chief priests. And you see that in Luke and Mark and Matthew, and we document those so you could see those. Yet after the Lord inquired as to whether Pilate was really just a pawn of those priests, then Jesus readily admitted the truth to Pilate. But to the large crowds who he spoke to, no, it was very different. And when Jesus spoke to Pilate, this is just hours before his crucifixion. Early on, you read this in John chapter 1, Andrew and some of the Samaritans in John 4 identified the Lord as the Christ. However, according to the Bible record, at that time, God made neither the resurrection nor Jesus' identity essential components to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Think about John the Baptist, his spirit-led comments at Christ's baptism, notwithstanding. Even the message of the Baptist revolved around neither the resurrection nor Christ's identity. His question at the conclusion of his public ministry, though tendered during a time of grave difficulty, John's own question made it clear that Christ's identity was not at the center of his message. You know why? This is what we read in Matthew 11. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, they were visiting him in prison, right? He sent two of his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" So that's John the Baptist. I mean, rather central role in the account of the Gospels. And he wasn't sure. He didn't know. No benefit derives from embellishing John's theological message. He stuck to his message of repentance. For Paul encountered, this is in Acts chapter 9, Paul encountered some disciples in Ephesus and asked if they had received the Holy Spirit, and they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And they're disciples of John, right? So this helps you understand John's teaching. And Paul said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." That's Acts chapter 19. So that means they were baptized according to his gospel of the kingdom, which is repent and keep the law, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John was preaching. Paul then explained to them this, Acts 19:4. "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him." And Paul explained, that is, on Christ Jesus. So John the Baptist did not even baptize in Jesus' name. For, this is Acts 19:5, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." These disciples in Ephesus had been evangelized only into John's baptism. So Paul baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, consistent with the house rules, the covenant of circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom that they had already been a part of. So John the Baptist did not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't do that. Rather, he strictly baptized with a baptism of repentance, in keeping with the law, preparing the way for the coming king, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That's what John said in Matthew. When Christ went to John, God inspired the Baptist to call Jesus the Son of God. However, John did not know the identity of Jesus prior to that point, nor did he afterward focus on that knowledge, but basically allowed it to lapse. Also, Adam is considered the Son of God. So there was some range of what that may have meant to John. John's evangelism mirrored that of Jesus, ignoring Christ's identity and coming resurrection. Yet, like the 12, when they preached the gospel during those first 3 years, he urged men to believe in Israel's God, to repent, be baptized, and keep the law, for the kingdom was near. Many Christians take Paul's message, the gospel of the uncircumcision, as Paul puts it, which requires men to confess Christ and believe in his resurrection, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. And they anachronistically shove it backward in time back into the four gospels. And they think they're doing their Bible students a favor by doing that, but they're only utterly confusing people. Continuing, these observations challenge those who misunderstand the Bible's plot. However, students of the Word who first gain an overview quickly recognize that the Lord and the 12 preached the gospel of the kingdom to the circumcision, while Paul preached the gospel of the uncircumcision to the body. The honest student cannot find the fundamental elements of Paul's gospel being preached in the four gospels. Further, 2 days prior to his death, Jesus predicted that the gospel of the kingdom would continue to be preached by the 12 and their converts well after his resurrection. Matthew 24, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's a statement from the covenant of circumcision in the Mosaic law. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. From these details, students may understand the difference in the content of the messages preached in the book of Acts. Along with faith, the 12 emphasized the law and works, while Paul argued against these. Once word got out about Christ's resurrection and his messiahship, of course, then the 12 incorporated those foundational truths into their gospel of the circumcision. Of course, Paul's gospel of the uncircumcision, though, could never have been preached without reference to Christ's resurrection, which is central and prerequisite to the message of the gospel as preached by the Apostle Paul. God used progressive revelation in the Bible, occasionally adding or taking away something from the existing dispensation while leaving other aspects intact. So with the developments from the Passion to Pentecost, God led the 12 to incorporate the resurrection into their message, of course. And because of the crucifixion, their converts stopped offering atoning animal sacrifices, of course. Except for these changes, however, their gospel of the circumcision continued mostly unaltered. But Christ literally hid the truth of his resurrection from the people while first preaching to them the gospel of the kingdom. So on earth, Christ emphasized the law, repentance, good works, baptism, and the kingdom, while omitting references to grace and the resurrection. Wow. That's the last chapter of the plot. You might want to get the book or an audio. Check it out at our website, kgov.com. May God bless you.